you all very much for inviting me and having me here in the land of Banyans. I'm so happy to be here. I come from a community that is centered around a banyan. Oroville is centered around a banyan planted near the Matri Mandir. So banyans are a very important feature in our lives. My name is Aviram, and I'll tell you my story very shortly. I was born two times that I know of. One time was in Israel in 1965, and one time was in India in 98. I came here for the first time in 98 with my wife Yurit, and after 3 days, we knew that we would live in India forever. It was very clear to us. It was not clear to Indian immigration at that time, but it was very clear to us. I had a normal childhood. I went to school and to university, served in the Israeli army, partially in Israel and partially in Lebanon. Then went to university and worked and, you know, made money and career and all this. But throughout this time felt that something is missing. Something very fundamental is missing in my life. A sense of purpose, a sense of knowing why. Why am I here? What is my role here? Because the things that I did, many people could do. It was not something that I felt really deeply connected to. And in 97, I went first time to the East. I went from my work to Bangkok, to Thailand, and I was 32 years old. For the first time, I've seen people meditating. It was, you know, where I come from, you know, people don't meditate. Maybe now they do, but at that time they didn't meditate. They worked and made money. So I saw first time people meditating, and it was like mind-blowing for me. I said, wow, they're not doing anything. They're just, you know, but they seem to go through a lot. And it was fascinating. I actually saw a few monks meditating in a little temple off the street, and I walked into the temple and sat there and started meditating with them. It was like immediate attraction. And then went deeper and deeper into this thought that there is something in life that is beyond what I've been experiencing, and started reading different books and meditating myself more, and then decided, okay, it's enough with this job and what I'm doing. And I managed to convince my wife also to go for 1 year and explore what that means for us. And first we went to Thailand, because that's where the memory was of the first encounter with this part of life. And then after a few months in Thailand, we went to India. And after 3 days, it was the 1st of January, 98, we knew that this is, you know, this is our home. And we drove a motorcycle actually from Chennai to Nepal, to all of central India, and had an amazing experience of the villages of India in the time that you could still experience them more than now. Without road and phones and TVs, many of them, and electricity. And it was very precious to drive on the small dirt roads of India all the way to Nepal. And then we stayed for 2.5 months in a village in West Nepal, a very remote village. And that was also a very deep and beautiful experience. And then went back to Israel, and had our first daughter, Osho Shanti, and returned to India in 2002 first to Rishikesh in North India near the Ganga, and had an amazing time meditating every day in the Shivananda Kutir, and very auspicious time. And then moved to Oroville in 2000, later in 2002. I think some of you know Oroville, located north of the city of Pondicherry. It's an international community based on the teaching of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. And we connected very much with the vision of Oroville, with the vision of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother, and decided to live there. In 2003, we started Sadhana Forest. And Sadhana Forest is our expression of what we understood from Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. Many people understand, of course, different things, but that's what we understood. And there are many, many aspects to it. If you look at it from the outside, it's a reforestation project, it's a water conservation project. But if you look deeply into it, it's an attempt to bring compassion to action, to bring compassion from the realm of thoughts and ideas to the realm of everyday life, to every aspect of life. Not just one aspect, not that, okay, we work with orphans, but the rest is different. No, we are trying to round it up as much as we can. So to bring compassion into the buildings. So we build them only from natural local materials that are coming within 25 kilometers of Sadhana Forest. We try to use materials that are harvested by hand. And for instance, if we use stone, we don't use stone that is harvested with explosives in the quarry, but stone that is harvested traditionally with a chisel. So a lot of effort is done to ensure that every aspect of our life is compassionate. The food is 100% vegan, so it's not extracted from animals in any way. We don't eat honey and milk and eggs and fish and meat. We unschool our children. We don't send them to school, and that's part of our compassion towards them, if you know what I mean. But also enable them to really learn because of curiosity, because of inner curiosity, and not because any knowledge is enforced upon them in any way. When they ask us a question, we answer them. But we answer very shortly, because if we answered very at length, they would say, I didn't want to know all that lecture. I just wanted the answer to my concrete question. As adults, we really want to teach, and that's a big problem. We bore them sometimes. So collaboration is another ideal of Sadhana Forest. We're trying to evoke collaboration and not competition. Competition comes out of scarcity. When you feel that you don't have enough, you compete with someone else. There's only one gold medal, so we all have to compete with it, for it. We believe in abundance. We believe that there is enough for everybody. There's enough love, there's enough food, there's enough everything for everybody, and there's no need for competition. There's need for collaboration to make that abundance continue and flourish, and that we are all living our life happily. And that's very difficult for our volunteers to understand. When they come, they immediately, okay, let's run. Who runs faster? Let's play cards. Who's winning? Who's losing? And we say, no, in Sadhana Forest, there are no winners and losers. There are collaborators. Let's change that card game. Let's change that run to see how we can do it together and increase our capacity as a team rather than as individuals or teams competing against each other. We believe in gift economy. So we're trying to give all our services for free. We live off the generosity of others, but we also try to be a bit generous ourselves. So, it goes together. And it has been a very, very interesting and very difficult journey, those 16 years. We are just finishing 16 years on the 19th of December in a few days. And those years have been full of struggle because we are trying to carve a new path, you know. And when you're carving a new path in a forest, you get a lot of thorns, you get a lot of branches in your eyes. You know, you're challenged. But that challenge has just increased our wish to make the path even deeper into the forest, to go even deeper into this exploration of something that is new, a human society that is new. We had a cyclone in 2011, which devastated some of Sadna Forest. And it was a huge blow for us. Many of our structures have fallen, and we thought, okay, this is over, that experiment is over. We tried to build with natural materials, and you know, we got this cyclone, and it destroyed a lot. And the next day, we got hundreds and hundreds of phone calls and emails and Facebook messages. Our phones were ringing 24 hours a day with people saying, I'll leave my job now, I'll come to rebuild it, you know? I can take a loan of $500 and send to you. I can, you know, I can do this. We felt, wow, we have to continue this, even not for ourselves, but for all the people that want this place to exist. In 2010, we started Sadna Forest Haiti. After the big earthquake in Haiti, I think most of you heard about it, maybe the very young ones haven't, but 200,000 people have been killed in 1 minute. This is not many times that it happened in human history. It was very devastating, and a friend offered us to start another Sadna Forest in Haiti, so, but we even didn't know where Haiti is, you know, and we didn't know anyone there, and just we went there and somehow managed to make it happen, and now we're finishing 9.5 years of activity in Haiti. We planted more than 100,000 trees. About 70,000 of them are producing food now for a population of a town, and we started a solar mill where we mill the nuts of the trees. We planted a lot of nut trees called Maya nuts, and we're milling them into flour with solar energy. And our next plan for Haiti is to start a solar bakery where we would bake all these, you know, baked goods out of these Maya nut flours. So, and in 2014, we started Sadna Forest Kenya with the same ideas, vegan, ahimsa, gift economy, collaboration instead of competition, unschooling, the same exact framework, but in Samburu County in North Kenya, creating long-term plant-based food security for the Samburu people and with the Samburu people, and it has been amazing. This is an indigenous tribe that lives there. Their main foods have been meat and milk and blood extracted from the veins of the animals, and we are slowly you know, introducing them to food forestry, and it's going really, really well. And we hope that this could be a solution to help them be more resilient because of very frequent droughts that they're getting there, like in many other places in the world. And there's so many places in the world that droughts are becoming so frequent that the concept of what food is has to change, because the food that we used to eat will no longer be available. That food comes on the expense of the forest too much. And we can see that with meat and milk now, that we need to clear huge amounts of forests, especially in the Amazon, but in other places as well, in order to grow feed for all these animals to produce the milk and the meat, and it's becoming unsustainable. We are saying this for 20 years, but even the scientists have caught up with it now, and they understand IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, understands that the world has to transition to a plant-based diet. So, yeah, this has been our journey. We have about 1,000 volunteers here in Sadhana Forest, India, and about 37. Last year, we had 37,000 visitors, so people that come for the day. We have a lot of children. We have a goshala where we have cows. We're not milking them. We're not, of course, eating them. We're just serving them. And some people ask us, when we show them the goshala, they ask us, okay, you have cows. What do you do with them? And we immediately ask them, do you have friends? And they say, yeah, we have friends. What do you do with them? You don't milk them. We hope you don't eat them. So you must do something fun with them. The same thing we do with cows. Thank you very much. Thank you. If you have any questions, we'll be very happy to answer you.
So I had a question. I have a son who's 10 years old. You know, he just got to 10 years now, and he was going to school till recently, till the last year. But we're also, you know, trying to make him have experiences rather than just go to school and, you know, have a routine where he's not able to experience life the way he wants to. So I heard about Sadhana Forest and your attempt to unschool children, right? So how does that work? Like, at the core of it, it's for Aurovillian children, and what is the core philosophy here? Like, so if there are any pointers you can give me,
sure.
Yeah, so that, you know, sure, that relation is more important with my son rather than, you know, things like that. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you for the question. First of all, you're most welcome to Sadhana Forest with your son and to experience it directly. I think this would be the best, and it's, you know, it's not that far. So, okay. So next time, please come and visit us and see for yourself. You're all most welcome to Sadhana Forest at any time. Regarding what unschooling is, so unschooling basically means that things, let's say, the premise is that learning is happening because of curiosity. Learning is not happening because of teaching, but because somebody is curious to know something. Of course, in a school, it's not possible to do that because in a school, there are 30 or 40 kids in a class, and you can't wait for every one of them to be curious, and they're curious about different things. But I'm talking in a natural setting, in a setting of a family, where most of us used to learn until the Industrial Revolution, right? We're curious, and we ask, why do you do this? How do we do that? And we're answered, and that's the learning. So unschooling respects the child pace, the child wish. We assume that when a child is ready to learn something, let's say reading and writing, when they're ready to learn to read and write, they will ask you, how do I read and write? Yeah, that means that their wiring, their internal wiring, is ready for that. Before that, they won't ask. Maybe it will come at the age of 5, maybe it will come at the age of 12. Maybe it will come at the age of 18. But it will come at one point when they need it, when they're interested in it and their brain is ready. But you have to see it in action. You have to see the children and how free they are, how creative they are, how aware they are. And I think that would be the best way to experience it. Yeah. Please take me up on my offer.
Hi. I've been reading about Sadhana Forest since a few years now. I have also been I've taken an opportunity to email you once related to your practices in Oroville. I wanted to know what are the basic things one can learn or follow of Sadhana Forest to replicate your model in other places. Say, for example, if I want to do it in Baroda, how can I create a small Sadhana Forest here?
I think, you know, Sadhana Forest is a vibration. It's not an organization, you know? And if you feel that vibration, if you feel that you want to, the first step is, let's say you're going to buy an apartment, okay? So you have to think, is this a compassionate apartment? Okay? Was this built with compassion towards the area where it's located? Was it built from compassionate materials? Were the workers treated well when they were constructing it? Were they safe? You know, these are the questions. The same when you buy a car or you treat your children or you interact with someone on the street. This is Sadhana Forest, and you can do that in Baroda, and you can do that anywhere in the world. The practical things that we are doing, building from natural materials and planting a forest, may not be relevant to your life at a certain time, but the vibration is definitely very, very relevant, and I think could be implemented by anyone. And please come and stay with us, and we can also discuss this more and see what of the technical elements can be implemented maybe here, maybe even together.
When you went to Sadhana Forest, what was the population around, or how many have come in, or how have you created this? Just give us a brief idea.
Okay, so we moved onto the land on the 19th of December 2003, and the population at that time increased from 0 to 3. my wife, my daughter, who was 3 years old, and myself. And we thought that would be sort of the last increase for many years, because people told us a place that is 100% vegan, no smoking, no drugs, no alcohol, complete turn off. Nobody would come, you know? And that's what we assumed that would happen. But 5 days later came the first volunteer and said, I heard that you're making this new community and I want to join and help you. And more of them started coming, to the extent that we now have more than 1,000 people per year. So it all happened organically, mostly word of mouth. So people come visit us, and then they if they have a terrible experience, they probably tell all their friends, please don't go there, it's no fun. And if they have a great experience, and some of them obviously do, so they say the opposite, and you know, it spreads and they come. And they can just take their bag and come. They don't have to, I mean, they can write us an email, but they don't have to. It's very spontaneous, very, you know. There was a guy that came like 11 years ago or something like this, and the minimum stay was 2 weeks for foreigners at that time. And he argued with me that I want to stay only 10 days because I'm on a cycle trip in India and I can't stay for 14 days. And I said, it's 14 days or nothing. He stayed for 9 years. So, plans change. Yeah.
What was the hardship you faced initially? You may not be having electricity or water or anything.
Yeah, we didn't have electricity for, 7 or 8 months. So we used torches. We had the hand pump from the very first day. We didn't miss anything. We lived on a bullock cart. We made a little thatch roof on that, and we were super happy, believe me. Nothing was missed. Nothing was missed. I miss those days. That's the only thing missed here. There was such a feeling of, you know, of excitement and pioneering, and the people around us, the villagers around us, were so excited. We did a huge puja together with hundreds of people, and we had the most amazing, you know, organic pongal, and it was a wonderful time. Yeah.
Maybe we can take one more question.
So when you're talking about practicing compassion, right, what I'm curious about is, I guess, I believe each one of us has moments or situations when it gets difficult to practice compassion. So what are your such moments or situations, and how do you, what do you do when you have difficulty practicing compassion?
Wow. That's a strong last question. I have many of these moments, many moments of difficulty. And what I personally do is I step out of the situation. When I feel that I'm cornered, that I'm put in a situation where I'm starting to be aware that I'm losing my compassion, and I'm not in my normal state, then I say, listen, I have to go for a few minutes. You know, people think I have to take a phone call or something. You know, I go, I introspect about what is difficult for me with that person. Why? What is it reminding me? What is it triggering in me that I'm losing my compassion? And I, you know, meditate and ask my, you know, my gurus to support me in coming back to this situation with another state of mind. And mostly I can do that and come to that situation and be compassionate. And then later introspect deeper into this and try to fix that. So it's an ongoing practice and effort. It's not something that is done in a day. It's not that, I mean, at least to me, it didn't happen in a day. I wish it would, but yeah. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Aviram.